We're going to have an opportunity to quiz you a little bit, talk to you, ask you some stuff about family, about your role as a pastor. I think it would be good for us.
Can they stand up for just a minute?
Yeah, you want to stand up and stretch? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
All right, sit down. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You can stay standing, or you can sit as you're comfortable. You had made mention, James, in your message tonight about, and you alluded to it in your prayer, about not being so busy and maybe slowing down. What are some of those things? How does that practically happen? Are they going to be able to see us with this pulpit? Oh, you want James to sit over there and me over here?
Yeah, that's okay. Right, so we can see him.
Okay. Yeah, you want to see him, not me. You could care less about me.
Yeah.
Now I need my iPhone because I got the questions over here.
Now I got to sit down. That's nice. Thank you.
You had alluded to slowing down.
Yeah.
We lead busy lives. Most of us are busy. We have lots to do. Elaborate on that a little bit. What does that look like to slow down?
Well, I think a lot, we live in a day and an age, and I think y'all know it, that we can be busy 24/7, and we sometimes bring upon ourselves more busyness than what we need. I sometimes think, boy, wouldn't it be nice just to have no electricity in my house for a week, so that I wouldn't have to worry about computers, and I wouldn't have to worry about Facebook. I wouldn't have to worry about any blogs out there. I could just sit back, light a candle, and hey, play a few games of cribbage with my son and my daughter. I think that we bring on a lot of extra stuff on ourselves and think that those things are so important, and yet at the end of the day, they're really not. What does that look like? It depends on the family. It depends on what people are doing. Years and years ago, Stacy and I, and this is well over a decade ago, we found out that we were watching too much television. We actually had done that already. And so we had taken off all of the cable stations, but we were still able to get the news programs, you know, 2020, Nightline, all that kind of stuff, which were quite interesting. But we came to the place where we said, this is not feeding our souls. This is not providing any richness to us at all. And so we put the television out in a garage sale. Probably should have thrown it away, but we made $10. So, you know, that was okay. So, but you know, it depends on your own family. I mean, what is it that is distracting you from really loving your wife as Christ loves the church? What is distracting you from investing yourself in your children and nurturing them as we read in Ephesians chapter 6, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? What is distracting you? And what is really, really important?
Okay, I've been in your home, and I've watched you and Stacy interact with your children. And you started. So I'm going to give all the secrets away. You started to bridge kind of the next question. Oftentimes, as parents, we want to gain the heart of our children, and then we want to keep that heart. You have done that with your children. Can you talk about that? What have you done? What does it mean? What does that look like to gain the heart of your children and to keep it?
Well, let me just mention real quick that it's not a one-time thing. It's a process that has its hills and valleys. So when you say that I've done it, I'm not a perfect dad. My wife's here, right, to have to be honest, right? I'm not a perfect husband, and so there are days when I think, oh, this is great, and there are days that I think it's not so great. And we have our children, by the way. Our oldest is 28, and our youngest is 7. So we've got children in process, different stages as well. I'm blessed to have a 15-year-old son by the name of Caleb, and before Caleb, I had our oldest son, 28 now, James. And I sensed in James's life when he was about Caleb's age that he was slipping away from the family, that he was giving his allegiance to other people and other groups. And it was a time for us to wake up and take stock of what we were doing and to invest in him. It's simply looking for opportunities to really be with your children. So I'll just use Caleb as an example. at 15 years old, he's starting to recognize that he's growing up. He actually has grown up. You'd be amazed if you saw him today, Randy. You know, in the last year, Stacy went on a gluten-free diet a couple of years ago, started feeding him quinoa. He's almost 6 feet tall now. It's just, he hates quinoa, but he's really grown. He's really tall. It's just amazing. But I'm seeing that he's wanting to be a man. He's thinking through things. He's exploring in his mind, what I've told him, what I've encouraged him to do. And then he's saying, yeah, but. Well, it's time now, and it has been for the last couple of years, for me to sit down and we open up the Word of God, which this is my iPad, but it's not my Bible. But it does have the Word of God on it. And we talk about issues. So every Sunday afternoon with Caleb, we go out on our deck. We have a screened-in portion of our deck, and we talk about a particular issue in life. What is on Caleb's mind? I'm working right now, working through, Scott Brown wrote a book that's a really decent book. I encourage dads to take a peek at it. It's called Preparing Boys for the Battle. It's kind of based on Iwo Jima. It's a really interesting theme. And so Caleb and I are going through one chapter of that every week, and then we'll go through something else. We've got Doug Bond's books as well, Stand Fast, Hold Fast. Boys in particular need their dads to focus on them. Boys in particular. Of course, girls need to know that dads are there and they love them as well. I've got a delightful 21-year-old daughter that told me on the way out here, she called and she said to her mom, "Dad hasn't told me that he loves me in 3 days." And I'm thinking, I've been really busy, Jessica, and you know I love you. So I said, "Call her back. I need her on the phone. Jessica, I really do love you." "Oh, I'm glad you told me that, Dad." So we just try to make ourselves available. It's, again, priorities. What is important? Can we carve out some time? Can we give up some of our whatever it is for our family?
I want to ask a question based on what you said a second ago, but we want to open it up to other questions. As you hear this conversation and you have things you would like to ask or other questions, feel free to just raise your hand, and then you just got to speak up. So please do that. So if anybody's got one, just interrupt me. I'm good with that. I'll feel just like I'm at home. You used the term allegiance when you were talking about your son James. I think that's a great word. I haven't used that in my home. How do we keep? And you talk about an ongoing process, and I know you talked about spending time with them. Elaborate on that a little bit more. Keeping the allegiance, gaining and keeping the allegiance of our children to us and not to other things. Because there are, as you know, many things in the world and other people and that will grab and vie for their attention.
Right. I think the biggest thing when it comes to allegiance is to recognize that, help children recognize that God has placed them. And I say this often from the pulpit. I say this as often as I can when I'm speaking into other groups. God has strategically placed us where he will for his purposes. Our children are not accidents. They're not just a biological act. They're not the product of a moment of passion. They are placed in our home because we have a good God who gives good gifts and has given us an inheritance. And so I try to encourage my children, I'd encourage you to do the same thing with your children. God has placed you here. You are part of this family for a purpose. What is that purpose? We don't have it all figured out, but we know this, it's a kingdom purpose. And so part of that allegiance is based, and I'll just point to my iPad thingy here because the Bible's in here, but it's the Bible. It's what God's Word says. And so when we as a family develop a particular nuance that we feel is important, whether that be an educational model, whether that be an expression of modesty, which seems different than the world, whether that be courtship versus dating, something that just seems a little bit out of kilter to the rest of the world, watching certain movies but not watching others when all of our friends are going off to see, whatever's come out of Hollywood. Why is it, Dad, that we don't do that, or why is it that we do this? Those are the areas where we can lose the heart of our children, where we can lose their allegiance. And if we just simply say to our children, "Because I'm the dad and I said so," or if we say, "Because your mom said so and you're going to make her mad if you don't do what she said," we're going to lose their hearts. But if we can open up the scriptures and we can say, well, this is why we do it, because this is the principle that we're gleaning right here. It may not be right. I like to tell that to my children. It may not be right completely, because I've learned so much in my walk with Christ, and I'm continually learning more and more. It may not be completely right, you know, and it may not be the best application of this particular verse, but this is what I'm seeing right now. And since God has placed you in my home, since you're not an accident, and since you are called to honor your father and mother, that it will be well with you, then my encouragement, young man, young lady, is to work with me as we work through these scriptures and apply them in our family.
Thank you. I got more questions, but does anybody have anything at this point?
My wife has a question. Uh-oh.
Yeah. This will be a great question,
yeah.
I'm sure.
No, I was just going to ask you to expound a little bit on that the scriptures are not the end all be all.
Right. Yeah. There is indeed. God has given us authority in our homes. He has given us as parents authority. By the way, young children, I hope you're listening. Older children, I hope you're listening. It comes from God. It just doesn't come from your dad being your dad. That authority is given because God has given it to them. And your parents are called to disciple you. And they aren't just your buddies. Now, it's great that I get along with my sons. My 28-year-old son and I have a great friendship. And I've got that's a different friendship than my friendship with my 15-year-old son, Caleb. We are still friends. But Caleb is in my household, and he needs to submit to me, and I need to have the fortitude to say, son, you need to straighten up. You know, you need to straighten up. We need to be those who will come alongside our children and help them to be disciples. And sometimes that means speaking harsh words or harder words.
Great. Anyone other than Stacy have a... No. Okay. Yeah, Tom.
So, talk about being very busy, and talk about cross matter, prioritizing it. In your message, you talk about prioritizing according to the Word of God. So, can you give any other than being in the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, do you have any other tips?
Well, yeah, some of them are just simple tips. I mean, what time do you get up in the morning? I mean, I know men I give a talk on family worship, for instance, or family discipleship, and after the talk, some guys will come up and say, hey, I just don't have the time to do that. I don't have time to open the Bible with my children. And my retort is, well, what do you have time for? You know, where is it that you're spending your time? And so analyzing that, sometimes we just stay up too late. If we went to bed at 10:30 rather than 11:30, we could get up with sufficient time so that we are in the Word. We use the McShane Bible reading plan, which is 4 chapters a day in our church, and I encourage our families to do that. And then we'll use it as well, portions of that in our family worship. And what I like to do is get up ahead of my kids and actually read it, make sure I know what I'm going to be talking about, so that I at least appear to know something about the Bible when we have our family worship. But you know, it's an element of just carving out time. And what does that look like? Well, again, We tossed out things that are distractions. We got rid of that television, that thing that's in the room. Some of the other things, making sure that you're sitting in the room with your children. Oftentimes, parents will find a place where they'll hide. They'll hide in their bedroom, or they'll send their children elsewhere. We like to sit in the living room with our children. I like to sit there, and if I've got a book to read, and I have plenty of books to read, I like to read in the living room with my kids around me. And so that we're all part of the same environment as much as possible. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways you can look at that, but you know, making time is a crucial thing, and we just don't have a lot these days.
And that's true. I've been there when you're studying and doing whatever you're doing, and it's a fury of stuff going on, cooking, and your children are asking questions, and you turn, you're attentive to them, and then you go right back to your work. Or when we're there, you indulge me in conversation and put off some of the stuff you're doing. So that's good. Thanks. I'm gonna, for the sake of time, I'm gonna go down to the last two questions I have.
Okay.
And you again touched on it. You said courting or dating. I'm asking this probably more of a personal question because I have a 20 and an 18-year-old son. Not that my 20 or my 18-year-old son are courting or dating at this point, but I want to know what, in your eyes, are the difference between that. And you have, what,
three married children.
Three married children, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, Tiffany's married.
Right. Yeah, we have three married children. That's a big question and a very busy question. That could. I actually have a seminar that is a 6 or 8 session seminar. So if y'all want to bring us out again and we can do that, we'll go through all the different talks. But differences between courtship and dating. Courtship is deliberate. There's a purpose, and that purpose is matrimony. That's the purpose. Dating is more fun. It's frivolity. It's hey, she's cute. He's well sculptured, and I think we should hang out. You know, there's no real purpose. Courtship, it has oversight, different ways of looking at that, but there's oversight. Within dating, there's no oversight. In courtship, in dating, there is the opening up of emotional and physical gates. In courtship, those gates are kept closed until such time, as we read in the Song of Solomon repeatedly: "Do not awaken love before its time." See, there's a bunch of other ones that we could go through.
How many questions? I've seen it on the internet because we've looked at it a few times. How many questions do you have that you give the young men that are coming?
Yeah, if a young man comes and knocks on my door and says, "I'm interested in courting one of your daughters," I give them a questionnaire, which is, the latest version is not up on the website. I think it's 132 questions.
Okay.
So, and some people say 132 questions. Well, that's pretty draconian. That's not very nice. And you're asking some pretty probing questions. Well, again, it's the difference between dating and the difference between courtship. Dating is fun and frivolity. Courtship is deliberate with the purpose of matrimony. Well, if you're going to talk to my daughter, try to get to know her with that goal in mind, you know, she should know who you are. So I ask. I mean, and they're not all horrible questions, but there are questions like, what were the last 5 books you've read? You know, I'd like to know that the guy can read. You know, and it's not just, oh yeah, it's the latest, you know, Batman comic book. Now that was pretty good. Yeah. So I want something a little deeper than that. Not necessarily that I would say no because he reads Batman comic books, but it wouldn't be a strong step forward. What are the last 5 movies you've seen? You know, I ask that. And I think that's an important thing. What are the things that, what kind of music do you like to listen to? We have questions like, what about special days? It could be a very divisive question in some households. What are special days? Holidays, Christmas, Easter. You know, what is your position on these? Because your family may be different than our family, and how's that all going to work out? And are those showstoppers? No, not necessarily. But it's good to know these things at the beginning. So
bluegrass music probably rates really high up there.
Dooley's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We sang that at Tiffany's wedding.
You did.
That's
yeah.
right. Last question that I have, unless somebody else again has, because then we're going to move into fellowship time. Anybody else got any before I ask my last one? Okay. Well, this ties into the courting, but can you describe briefly what Tiffany's courting look like? Because we talk about courting, but I've never really asked anybody. So what did that look like? I asked Carl Schroeder a little bit what it was like for his son. Mm-hmm. But what was it like for Tiffany? And Tiffany lived in Morton, Illinois.
Right.
And her now husband lived in Ceres, or is he in Modesto? Or
Mountain Ranch.
Okay, Mountain Ranch.
Yeah, at the time. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, that's a... I have a whole seminar on this, but there's a few things we need to keep in mind. And one of those, there's what I call the P's of courtship. The one is preparation. You know, is a young man prepared to take on a wife? Is a young woman prepared to be a wife? So that's one question. So the one thing we worked out when Ben came chatting is, are you prepared, Ben, to take on a wife? Have you figured out what you want to do for a living? Are you gainfully employed? You know, where do you want to be in 5 years? Are you able to take on a wife? If a kid is 15 years old, he's not ready typically to take on a wife. Now, maybe at 15 years old, he's a master carpenter and ready to go. Well, that may be a different story, but most aren't. So the other component is the concept that I mentioned earlier of the questions, going through those questions. I call that passing muster. So do you have time to take on these questions? My daughter, Krista, when Daniel, her husband, asked to court her, I gave him about 120 questions at the time. Every young man adds more questions. So, you know, if you're interested in any of my daughters, now's the time to get in because we're going to get more questions as we go on. So Daniel had 120 questions, and I handed them to him on a Friday, and he called his dad, and he said, hey, Dad, you know, Mr. McDonald gave me all these questions. Do you think it's worth it for me to go through this process? And his dad was very wise. His answer was, well, Daniel, the actual question is she worth it? Is she worth it? So Daniel filled out all the questions and got them back to me by Monday, and now they're married and have a grandson, and God is good. But passing muster, parental involvement, you know, we need to figure out how visitation, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? But how are they going to get to know one another, and what is that going to look like in our household? You know, there's no book of courtship. You can't find it in your Bible, the first book of courtship or the second. It's just, you know, there are these principles that you can find. But throughout the Bible, the principle is the parents are involved. Typically, the father is involved in successful courtships. By the way, successful courtships either end in matrimony or they don't. That's another thing. If a courtship doesn't move forward to the altar, well, good thing you figured it out before there was a marriage and great issues. But parental involvement and then that protected visitation, protected interchange between a young man and a young woman. And so there we had that. And, of course, it was a little easier with Ben because he did live a long ways away. We didn't have to worry about him coming over every Wednesday and eating all the food. You know, so he would have to fly to Peoria. When he did fly to Peoria, when they were courting, we arranged for him to have a different place to stay, not at our house. It's just the way we did it. That was our plan. We made sure he had a car, and we worked out times for him to come over and hang out with the family. And we did that because we wanted to see how he really lived his life. That's another thing about dating. You don't really see what somebody really is like, because when you're dating, you put on the happy face. You know, we're going to go to the movies. We're going to go to Six Flags. We're just going to have fun. You don't go to the movies every day in real life. You don't go to Six Flags every day in real life. In real life, you've got a chicken coop to clean out. You know, you've got grass to mow. You've got dishes to do. That's real life. And so you see how young men and young women interact in the midst of real life. You know, so those are just some of the things that we did with Ben and Tiffany. And Daniel and Krista. So.
Well, thank you. I hope these questions have been helpful and insightful in the area and the realm of a family. I know they are for me with a young family and getting older children, and we'll keep them awake a little bit more for you next time.
So. Yeah, well, you've probably been working them too hard.
Yeah, but you're allowed to. You're right. You're allowed to do that with Billy.
Because he's my friend.
That's right.
Used to be anyway.
Well, ladies, you have a wonderful evening planned for tomorrow night, and that's going to be great at 6:30. And Stacy will be speaking then. But now we're going to pray in just a second. But right after that, we're going to head over to the fellowship hall. And are there ice cream, I think, is what's on the menu, and coffee, and please stay, enjoy the time. I think the weather's cooling off a little outside. We can enjoy the outdoors as well. So anything else, Dave, before we pray? Okay. All right, well, let's pray and thank the Lord, and then we'll move on. Lord, thank you for James and his heart and his desire. More than anything else is for you. That was evident not only in his message, but in the words he speaks and the life that he lives. Thank you for Stacy and her willing heart to be transparent to the other ladies tomorrow night. Father, we would ask that you would bless the rest of their time here as they are being able to see Tiffany and Ben and their grandchildren. Thank you for the privilege of having James here. Bless them. Use them greatly. We pray for their church in Providence, Lord, our Providence church, that you would continue to grow and strengthen that church, that you would use the shepherds, the elders there, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And we are grateful people. In Jesus' name, amen.